Chapter 24 of Jeremiah, this wonderful prophet of God. The Bible is a book of telling the future. The Bible proves itself. The testimony of Jesus Christ is found in prophecy, and thus we study the prophets of God. We find ourselves in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. Jeremiah is telling the children of Israel, or actually the children of Judah, because the northern kingdom of Israel has already been conquered by the Assyrians. God fought off the Assyrians and preserved Judah, but Judah's gone into idolatry and immorality and rebellion against God. Also, the nation of Israel has not kept the Sabbaths, years. Every 7 years, supposed to let the land rest. Well, they didn't do this for 500 years. They went against the law of God. So God's going to send, finally, Judah into captivity through the Babylonian Empire, and they're going to be held captive for 70 years because it's going to fulfill the many Sabbaths that the nation of Israel did not fulfill during their time in the Promised Land. See, it's so important for us to fulfill what God says in His Word. He keeps an account. And there comes a point of time where He says, enough is enough. Now, I've given you a lot of time in the Promised Land, gave you a lot of time to be there and to be successful and to prosper. I took out your enemies, and you didn't follow me all the way. In fact, you compromised. You didn't take out all your enemies. And you know what? Finally, you rebelled against me in the northern kingdom. You went into idolatry and the worship of idols and all kinds of immorality. So the Assyrians came and wiped out the northern kingdom. 10 tribes to the north were destroyed. Now there's 2 to the south, Judah and Benjamin. These 2 tribes, they're left, preserved. But you guys just don't learn, do you? You just don't learn. You've gone into idolatry once again, and God's had enough. He says, I've had enough. Jeremiah, I want you to tell these people that I'm going to take them out because, you know what, they need to learn these lessons. You cannot be worshiping Yahweh and worshiping other gods. That's why Jesus said when He came to this earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, period. That's it. All other religions do not lead to God. All other religions are false. Either Jesus is false or all other religions are false. He gave no other avenue of thought other than say, He is the way, the truth, and the life, period. And He proved it by dying on the cross, rising from the grave, and ascending to heaven 40 days after His resurrection. You see, this is the work of God. So here's Jeremiah. He's faced with this onslaught of unbelievers, of rebellious people, society as a whole, the government as a whole, and the religious leaders as a whole. And he's just a man of God with just a few other men of God who are preaching that the children of Israel are going to face judgment. They need to repent. They need to get right. And those that do, God is going to protect as He takes them off to Babylon. And you see those that are protected like a Daniel. Daniel was hauled off as a captive to Babylon, along with the famous Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and others. And so they were taken. You got Nehemiah and Esther and Ezra and so on. And they were taken. And these are protected. God says, those that I will call and they will go, they'll be hauled off in captivity in the first captivities, the deportations, I will protect them and take care of them. But the rest, you're going to be destroyed. Because you're not willing to repent. You're not willing to turn. You're not willing to get right with me. So let's begin our reading. Here's this example that God gives about good and bad figs. Good and bad figs. We're going to get a little bit of figology, the study of figs, right here, okay? The Lord showed me, says Jeremiah, and there were 2 baskets of figs set before the temple of the Lord. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem and had brought them to Babylon. Now, this is one of the first deportations, the first captivities that took place. He didn't wipe out everybody or take everybody. He just took a small portion. I think the date is about 597 B.C. So this takes place. And then it says, one basket had very good figs. He has this vision of these figs. One basket had very good figs, like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs, very good. And the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans. When you read Chaldeans, just think of the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. That's the Babylonian Empire. We read a lot about them in the book of Daniel, okay? The King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. There was a statue, this image. And, of course, you had the head of gold and breastplate of silver and the belly and thigh of bronze. It was the breastplate and arms of silver and the belly and thigh of bronze. And then you had the iron legs. And it's representing the, and then the final, the feet were iron mixed with clay. And this is this vision he had. Of course, Daniel gives the interpretation of the dream of this vision. And these are the world empires, major world empires that will take place in regards to the nation of Israel and our world, even to this very day. The head of gold was the Babylonian Empire. That was King Nebuchadnezzar. Then the silver was the Medo-Persian Empire. And the bronze was the Grecian Empire. And the iron is the Roman Empire. It's split in two legs. It's split in two, east and west. And then you have the revived Roman Empire, which is with us today in the European Union, with the iron mixed with clay. Iron and clay don't mix very well, but it's still existing to this very day. The revived Roman Empire is with us to this very day. And that'll be the last day's empire, which the Antichrist will rise up once again. So we find here, he says this. He says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, verse 5, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good, into the land of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. So he says, look, I have set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. They're going to go into captivity, and then they will come back. This is the remnant that has faith in God, trusting in God. God says, just go with them, because you know what? You guys have so sinned against me, and you've all these idols, you've done all this immorality, you haven't taken care of the land. I'm going to haul you out of here, and then I'll bring you back after the 70 years are up. And we'll read more about the 70 years in Jeremiah chapter 25. So he says then I will give them a heart. He says, verse 6, for I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back. And then verse 7, then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. So he says to them, you're going to go into captivity, then when I bring back that remnant will have a whole heart for me. They'll follow me once again. We know that ultimately Nehemiah will be coming back with many, and they will rebuild and restore Jerusalem. But it's unfortunate they're not fully committed because you see this wavering take place. You don't see them conquering their enemies any longer because they're not fully given over to God. But we do know in the last days, because this is a current fulfillment as well as a long-term fulfillment, we know that in the book of Revelation chapter 7, it says there'll be 144,000 Jews that'll have the seal of God on them, and they'll be preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Messiah of the Jewish people. And thus, they will be spreading the gospel in the last days. And God's Spirit is poured out upon that remnant. That remnant is mentioned in Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, and we see them through the book of Revelation chapter 7 onwards, this remnant that God is going to preserve and save. We also know that Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation, he says, get out of Jerusalem, run for your life. That is at the halfway point of the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation, Revelation 6 through 19. And he tells the Jews, get out. And as they run out, this remnant will be protected, most believe, in the area of Basra, which is the rock city of Petra. So God will protect them. And this is, God always has a remnant of faithful ones. Of course, we'll be up in heaven because we went up in the rapture of the church. So he says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. I will be their God, and they shall return to me with their whole heart. And as the bad figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so bad. Surely, thus says the Lord, so will I give up Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his princes, the residue of Jerusalem, who remain in this land, and those who dwell in the land of Egypt. He's going to give up these bad figs. They would not follow the Lord. They would not follow the voice of God. They would not follow the voice of the prophets. And thus God says, they're bad figs. They're going to be given up. I will deliver them to trouble into all the kingdoms of the earth, for all the kingdoms of the earth for their harm, to be a reproach and a byword, a taunt and a curse in all places where I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they are consumed from the land that I gave to them and their fathers. So again, he says, this is what's going to happen to you. And we also see this happening in the Great Tribulation period. Two-thirds of the Jewish people will be wiped out. One-third will be saved. This is what the Bible says in the book of Revelation and in the prophets. So this is going to take place. And we also know that our Lord Jesus Christ, turn with me to Matthew 24 real quickly. Matthew chapter 24. In that Olivet Discourse where Jesus proclaims prophetically the future of the world, he told us also in the last days, he says, verse 4, Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. That means birth pains, like a woman going into labor. We've studied this before. Those birth pains, these events happening across our world, become more intense and more frequent. And then he says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The Lord has spoken to us and said, guys, just like you're reading there in Jeremiah, guess what? These events are going to take place in the world, and as you see these events taking place, recognize, I am coming soon. When I see what happens to the children of Israel at their time period, and I see what Jesus prophesies for all the world in our time period, we see these correlations that are taking place. He also says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who's in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. If you want to find out what that's all about, read Revelation chapter 6 through 19, and you're going to see the horrific events, the cataclysmic events that are going to take place on planet Earth. It is global, and probably about two-thirds of the world's population is going to die with the plagues, with the pestilences, with the asteroids or comets coming down from the heavens, poisoning the waters, the oceans turning to blood red, vegetation being burned up, the scorpions coming out from the earth and stinging man. He can't die for 5 months. It's going to be a horrific time. I'm just giving you barely a taste of what's going to take place. For then there will be great tribulation, Jesus says. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. The elect's sake are speaking of the Jews. The church has gone up in the rapture of the church. We're told that in the book of Revelation chapter 3. We're told that in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're told that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That the church will go up before the tribulation period. We're also told that in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, John's Gospel chapter 14. Who are the elect here he's talking about? This is in the tribulation period. He's talking about those in the tribulation that are Jews. The Jews are called the elect of God in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4, chapter 65, verse 9, Romans chapter 11, verse 28, and also in the book of Revelation. The Jews, that are that remnant that come to Christ, come to God, are known also as the elect. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Forever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. This is speaking of the great battle of Armageddon, where the second return of Christ takes place, and by the sword of his mouth he wipes out the enemies that are trying to destroy him. All the nations of the world will be gathered in the valley of Megiddo, and they will turn their weaponry against the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming from the heavens. And the Bible says that Jesus will speak, and they will be destroyed. And the valley of Megiddo, 200 miles long, will be filled up to a horse's bridle with blood. That's what's going to take place. The armies of the world will be gathered. The great armies of China, the great armies of Russia, the great armies of the Middle East, the great armies of America, the great armies of Europe, they will all, and Africa, they'll all be gathered there in the valley of Megiddo to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will destroy them. They're enemies of God who never want to repent, who never want to turn to God. They want to destroy God. They want to destroy his Son. Read Psalm 2. Psalm 2 says that the nations of the world will be against God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it declares. All the nations will be against him. Now, we find here next, it says, for where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. There's going to be tremendous earthquakes taking place on planet Earth. The mountain ranges are going to be leveled, and the islands will flee away. They're going to be removed out of their places because of these huge, massive earthquakes on planet Earth. And the eruptions of volcanoes across the Pacific Rim and throughout the world. The world is going to radically change. Be so full of ash and so forth that you cannot see the sun or the moon. It'll be darkened. So the Bible declares, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. All the Jews that survived the tribulation period, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to use angels to gather them to the city of Jerusalem, to Israel itself. They've already been gathering. We're seeing this take place, and is fulfilling what we're going to read right now. Let's read it. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. When it puts forth leaves, when you see the fig tree blossoming once again, the nation of Israel back in the land, recognize that the end is near. Recognize it. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. 1967, they got all of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. We see these events taking place. Jerusalem will be a stumbling stone for the nations of the world, and it is today, as the Bible declares. One little nation, little tiny nation with 7 million people. 7 million, folks, just 7 million people. That's less than 7 Hawaiis. We're about, 1,200,000, 1,400,000 here on the islands? It's just a small little piece of land the size of New Jersey, okay? And yet it is the centerpiece of the world's conflict. Why? Because they are God's people, and Satan knows it. And he wants to come against them, and he wants to reign and rule from Jerusalem. He wants to shake his fist at God, shake his fist at the Son of God, and say, the world is mine. For the most part, the world is his. But there's always a remnant. Always a remnant. And Jesus will come and fight for his people, the Jewish people. He's promised it throughout the scriptures. And he will fight against Satan. He'll fight against the Antichrist. He'll fight against the false prophet. He'll fight against the nations and their war machines as he returns the second time. He will protect and provide and be victorious for his people. You and I, thank goodness, we're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We've gone up in the rapture of the church before the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia, he says, I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. Why? Because you've kept my word, you've not denied my name. You're people that love me and you love my word and you follow what I say. And you are my bride and I will take you up in the rapture of the church. He says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. In the book of Jeremiah, we read about the remnant that is the figs, the good figs. Also, we find talking about the figs in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. It is an emblem of the nation of Israel, a symbol, if you will. We also know that Jesus, when he came across the fig tree towards the end of his ministry, he turned to that fig tree and it was not bearing fruit, and he cursed it and it died. Because the Jewish people would not receive him as their Messiah, of which the prophets had foretold. So he cursed it and the fig tree dies. There was no fruit coming from the children of Israel. And thus, in 70 AD, Jesus says, see the temple and all these beautiful buildings that you guys enjoy? They're all going to be destroyed. They're all going to be destroyed. Jesus dies in 32 AD. 70 AD comes Titus, the Roman general, with his troops because there's a rebellion going on in Jerusalem, and they kill well over a million Jews, enslave them and disperse them amongst the Roman Empire, and they destroy all the buildings, the temple and everything. Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another, and every single stone was dismantled. Every temple, every building dismantled by the Roman government because the Jews had a rebellion. And Jesus says, this is what's going to take place. The word of God is sure for us. Everything he has spoken will take place. He says, but when that fig tree comes alive again and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody can proclaim the date of when the Lord's coming back for his church. So anybody tells you they know the date because they've done all these little formulas and all this stuff, and nobody knows the day or the hour. The Bible says we're to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? The Lord Jesus doesn't want anyone waiting for the rapture of the church. He wants everybody proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us waiting. He just says, watch and be ready. But the goal is that we preach the gospel. You know, we're not going to sit here and say, hey, well, here's the date, just hang out, let's just wait. And all of a sudden, September 23rd comes along, and that's when the rapture of the church is going to take place. Nobody knows the day or the hour. People have been trying to name the day, the hour, name the Antichrist and all those things. The Bible says the Antichrist will be revealed after the rapture of the church. So let's not try to name the Antichrist. Let's just follow Jesus Christ, amen? And the Bible says we live for Jesus Christ, we proclaim Jesus Christ, we preach the cross of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what we're called to do as Christian believers. We're to spread the gospel to the whole world. When the Lord says it's time to come home, you're just going to go. You're just out of here in a twinkling of an eye, a tomo of time, an atom of time. You'll be gone. You're driving to work or you're sharing with somebody. You're chatting with someone across the world about Jesus Christ. You're going to be gone, taken to heaven. Bam. All going to be left behind. So let's be about our Father's business. Amen. That's the calling. So this is what Jeremiah, these good figs and bad figs, he says, look it, there's a mixture. He says, there's a mixture here. You know, we see that in the church, do we not? You have the church of Philadelphia, and what's the bad church? Church of Laodicea. Similarity. We have the faithful church, the church of brotherly love, the church that keeps the word of God, the church that declares and proclaims the name of Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior of the world. Then you have the church of Laodicea. Laodicea is lukewarm. They're not hot, they're not cold, they're lukewarm. They have one foot in and one foot in the world. Isn't it amazing that Jesus talks about the wise and foolish virgins? The wise ones were faithful. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they followed the word of God. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Their lamps were lit. They had extra oil to keep that lamp burning because they believed in the word of God. But the foolish ones didn't. And the wise ones said, when the Lord comes, they hear the Lord come, and they say, hey, give us some of your oil. We don't have our oil. The foolish ones said that. Then the wise ones say, you go to the marketplace. You go get your oil from over there because you're used to that. You're used to the world. You live in the world. You're part of the world. But our oil will never go out. Why? Because our oil is the Holy Spirit. It's the fire of God. It's the word of God. But your oil, that's over there. You're used to the marketplace. You're Laodicea. You're lukewarm. You're foolish virgins. You think you're the church, but you're not. See, we don't want to be a part of that. I'm not part of a church that believes in evolution. I don't believe in evolution. No way. You know why? My Bible does not preach evolution. I don't believe in homosexual marriages. No way. You know why? My Bible says it's an abomination. That's what the Bible says. Now, they're sinners. They need to be saved. My Bible says so will adulterers be judged, and so will fornicators be judged. Sex outside of marriage, you're going to be judged. It's time to repent. It's time to get right with God. It's time to believe the word of God, the creation of God, the order of God. Marriage between a man and a woman. Not two men, not two women. Don't tell me you're saved and you're a Christian. If you are, you're going to turn from those sinful ways, those wrong ways of God's creation, and you're going to get right with God and live according to what he says. If you tell me you're a Christian, you will love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. In other words, the mind of Christ is in you. But if you have a worldly mind and believe the ways of the world and say you're a Christian, my friend, your flesh has deceived you, the world has deceived you, the devil's deceived you, and the spirit of truth is not in you. You're born again of the spirit of the truth, and the spirit of truth leads you to the word of truth, leads you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life. That's what happens in a born-again Christian. But if you're believing the lie, that means you're following Satan. And you've duped yourself. So we're here to set people straight according to the word of God. It's not what I say, it's what does he say. This is Jeremiah. He's trying to straighten out the people in Judah. He's trying to tell them, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to live. This is what's in store for you guys. Now believe me, follow me. But today the world says, no, I don't want to follow that. I don't believe in that. You people are bigoted. You're intolerant. You're prejudiced. No, we're honest. We're honest. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to die in your sins. I don't want you to be deceived. You may not like me right now. It's okay. But I'm telling you the truth, and I pray that one day you'll come to Jesus Christ. You'll come to Jesus Christ. Because if you die in your sins, you'll find yourself in hell forever and ever and ever and ever with no second chances. Jeremiah is a wonderful prophet of God, and God is showing him there's good figs, there's bad figs. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 25. We find Israel's captivity. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, it'd be like speaking to America, speaking to Judah, speaking to America. America, turn from your sins. Judgment is coming. Turn from your sins. Stop the abortion. Stop the homosexuality. Stop the drug addiction. Stop the drunkenness. Stop it. You're destroying yourself, man. Turn to Jesus Christ. But it's unfortunate so many will not listen. Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me. So 23 years he's been preaching to these people. And I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not what? Here's your key. Underline this. You have not listened. You have not listened. Our church has been here established 23 years ago. 23 years ago, this church started. And we keep preaching and teaching the Word of God. We've gone through the entire Bible twice. We're on our third time taking this congregation, all of God's people, through the word of God. I pray we listen. We live and we listen according to the word of God. We listen and we live according to the word of God. You see, this is the calling of every pastor teacher. We must take God's people through the Word of God. That's amazing, huh? 23 years of church, 23 years, and we've gone through the Bible over two times, going into our third time. And you know what? The Lord tarries. We'll take you through fully the third time. And once we finish the third time, guess what we're going to do? We're going to read the Book of Mormon. No, we're not going to read the Book of Mormon. Just see if you're with me. You're still awake out there. Gee whiz, you guys. We're going to be in the Bible. Amen. We're going to take you through the Bible once again. I don't need a Book of Mormon. I don't need a Joseph Smith. I don't need the New World Translation. I don't need Watchtower magazines. I don't need all these other books, you know, that people write and do. What I need, what you need, is the Word of God. We need the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit in our spiritual warfare. The Word of God sanctifies me. The Word of God brings me truth to my heart, mind, soul, and body and life. This is the Word of God. Church of Philadelphia, you have kept my word. You have not denied my name. I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world. I will take you up in the rapture of the church. I will not detour from the Word of God. You may get tired of it. That's up to you. But you know what? If you want to come and listen, you come and listen. And we're going to go through the Word of God. Some of it is strenuous. Some of it is like, okay, here we go again. You know, it's okay. Some of it's very exciting. Most of it's very exciting. But sometimes you go, what's he talking about? And I have to explain it. I'll do my best. But we go through the Word of God and we learn all the prophets of God from Genesis to Revelation. The Word of God is pure. It is to be desired like honey from the honeycomb. It is like gold, to desire gold. That's how God says, I want you to desire my word. So we dig in, we find the vein of gold, we discover what it says, and we embrace it, and it becomes riches to our heart and to our soul. Jeremiah says, and they would not listen. He will say this four times to them in this passage, and they would not listen. So it says, and the Lord has sent to you all his servants and the prophets, rising early and sending them. But you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. Turn from sin, turn to the Savior, live for him, and God will bless you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing what's right. And he says, all things shall be added unto you. The things that are vitally important to God will be added to you. Sometimes people, oh, it's the riches of the world. No, that's not important to God. What's important to God is your heart, your life, your soul, your relationships with him and with others. That's what's the most important thing to God, to make you into his image. Not the riches of this world. They're gonna fall away. They're going to be ripped off. And it's not the things of the world. It's the things of Christ. It's his life, the riches of Christ. It's his life in you. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And all God's people said, amen. So he says, repent now, every one of you, verse 5 of chapter 25, of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. God calls King Nebuchadnezzar his servant. I'm going to use King Nebuchadnezzar as my hammer of judgment because you will not repent of your sins. So he says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them. and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. Here it is, 70 years. 70 years. In the book of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 1 and 2, Daniel reflects on the prophecy, this prophecy of Jeremiah. Let me see if I can get to it. Daniel chapter 9, I'll read you real quick. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, the realm of the Babylonians, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. In other words, it's going to be time to go back to Jerusalem. Daniel was a man of the word of God. You and I are men and women of the word of God. See, the Medo-Persians, as was foretold to Daniel, conquer the Babylonians. And that 70-year period of captivity is now coming to an end. And it's time for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. So Daniel reflects, I read about that. You see, we see events happening in our world today. We immediately say, the prophet Ezekiel has spoken that. He said that the nation of Israel will become alive once again. These dead bones that are in the valley will connect. Flesh, muscle will come upon them, and Israel become a nation once again, just as Jesus said. So that which we see today, May 14th, 1948, 1967, Jerusalem, we see, now we get to proclaim and say, the word of God has spoken it. And by the way, there'll be nations around Israel that are going to try to invade Israel. There'll be an alliance with Gog and Magog, which is Russia. And they're going to align themselves with Persia, which is our modern-day Iran. They will align themselves, and they're going to have an invasion along with these other countries of northern Africa and surrounding Jerusalem. They're going to invade Israel. They're going to try to invade Israel, and God will fight for his people in the northern region of Israel, and it will destroy them on those northern hills. He'll wipe them out. In fact, when they die on those hills, we're going to have to send out, Ezekiel says, they're going to have to send out specially trained people who will mark the bodies. And also the weaponry will burn for 7 years. That could only happen in the era of which we live. There's no other time period where you'd be burning weapons like that. Could be a nuclear exchange. Could be chemical weapons. And thus these bodies are marked by special people who are marking these bodies. Only in our era, and the prophet Ezekiel is speaking loud and clear here in the year 2017, and we're watching these nations gather, and they're Islamic, and they want to see Israel wiped out off the face of the earth. But the Bible says that God will fight for his people. You know, when you study that region, it is an earthquake region. It also has dormant volcanoes. And the Bible declares that there's going to be sulfur coming down from the sky. It'll be coming down. Brimstone. Could it be that there's going to be a great earthquake, which the Bible declares these volcanoes may become active, and also there could be a nuclear exchange or a biochemical exchange? The Bible speaks loud and clear to us in these last days. So when we read Daniel goes, hey, that 70 years is almost up. What do we read? The rapture of the church is almost here. You better get ready. There's going to be a great tribulation upon planet Earth. There's going to be a great deception in the Antichrist. All right, let's keep reading. So then we go to verse 12 of Jeremiah 25. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land, and the Chaldeans for their iniquity, says the Lord. I will make it a perpetual desolation. God conquers the Babylonians with the Medo-Persian Empire, just as he prophesied to Daniel, and he's saying it to Jeremiah. So I'll bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, and all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations. For many nations, a great king shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their hands. For thus says the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink. The Bible declares in Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, there's going to be a cup of wrath that will be poured out against the God-rejecting, Christ-rebelling nations of the world. A cup of wrath will be poured out. So not only is it a near prophecy, but it's a distant prophecy in the tribulation period for all the nations of the world that will try to fight against God. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, all the mixed multitude, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, namely Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon, all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coastlands, which are across the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who are in the farthest corners, all the kings of Arabia, all the kings of the mixed multitude who dwell in the desert, all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and the kings of the Medes, all the kings of the north, far and near one, with one another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth, also the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and drink, be drunk, and vomit, fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For behold, I begin to bring a calamity on the city which is called by my name. And should you be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. Here's the deal, folks. The city of God, Jerusalem, that's where his name, he owns that city. It's his city. It's the city of the great king. It's the city of the Messiah. And what did they do to Jerusalem, the Jews? What did they do? They embraced all the religions of the world. They brought all their foreign gods and their idols there. They worshiped those gods. They practiced their immoralities in the temple, around the temple, all throughout the city. And the people were engaged in this. And the prophets, like Jeremiah, were saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. But many false prophets were saying, it's okay, don't worry about it. We're good with God. We've got our worship of our Yahweh. But yeah, all the others, don't worry about it. We're just becoming multicultural. That's what we're doing. We're just embracing the whole world. You bet you're embracing the whole world. God says, I've called you to be a separate people, to be separated from the world. I don't want you to be unequally yoked. I want you to live for me. I want you to be sold out for me. I gave my son for you. Now you live for me. You see, we see the same today. We cannot embrace all the religions of the world. We will not embrace the religions of the world. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, goes to heaven, except through him. Period. That's it. He came to save the Jewish people, and he came to save the Gentile people. There's a lot of false gods. We got to cut through all this junk. We got to deliver them the straight message of Christ. Then says, therefore prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise will come to the ends of the earth, and the Lord has a controversy with the nations. Yep, he's got a controversy. They're going to follow the Antichrist. They're going to follow. He's also known in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as the lawless one, the lawless one. It means he's completely against the laws of God. Look at our world now. Look at our world. Are they not against the laws of God? That God, that Jesus Christ is the only way? How about the immoralities of our world? The laws of God's creation, the laws, and saying that we came from monkeys, evolution, the laws of marriage, between one man, one woman. The lawless one will come. He won't have a desire for women. Could he be a homosexual? Possibly. We don't know. But the Antichrist is coming. He's known as the lawless one. He wants to be against all the laws of God. Forget those Ten Commandments. Destroy those Ten Commandments. We don't want to hear those Ten Commandments. We want the graven images, and we want them all built in Jerusalem. We want Jerusalem to be an international religious city, and the leader will be the Antichrist. And you Jews build your temple in the holiest of holies. I'm bringing an idol of myself, and it'll be blasphemous against Yahweh. That's what's going to take place. And God says, enough. Enough already. Comes the great tribulation period. He says, for the Lord has a controversy with all the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh, and he will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. The word refuse speaks of dung. Dung on the ground. I won't go any further into it. Fertilizer, how's that? Wail, shepherds, and cry. Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. The false prophets, the false teachers, in the church, outside the church, false religions. Jesus says, do not be deceived, for many false Christs will come in my name. He also says there will be many false prophets, many false teachers. And he says, a voice of the cry of the shepherds and a wailing of the leaders to the flock will be heard, for the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his lair like the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. I'm going to have to stop here. Communion threw me off a little bit. Can't get to chapter 26. But this is talking about Christ's second coming. It's talking about the false religions of our world, the cults within Christianity. And he's speaking out, and he says, you guys need to repent. Who are the true prophets of God? They're found in the Bible. They're found in the Bible and only the Bible. Only the Bible. And so we preach, we teach, and we listen, and we learn, and we love the Word of God. That's our calling, because we are the Church of Philadelphia. And all God's people said, let's stand and pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your precious Word. We thank you for the beautiful prophet Jeremiah. We thank you for the power of the Word of God that changes our lives and brings us the truth about today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Lord, may you guide us together as one. May we follow you. May we love you. May we reach out to every cult, to every false religion, to everybody that's deceived, to every homosexual, to every lesbian, to gay men and to adulterers and fornicators and whatever they're involved in, Lord, prostitutes, whoever. We're going to reach all people in the name of Jesus Christ, just as you reached all people, Lord. We're going to offer your grace, your love, your mercies, your great salvation, because every sin can be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. Every life can be changed. And so, Lord, use us in these last days as bright lights to this world, as salt of the earth, for our government, for the religions, for our societies, for our neighbor, in our schools, everywhere we go, that we will not compromise, but we will be loving and we will be bold. We will not back down. We will not quit. We will not give up. Jesus, empower us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, in your precious name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.